Hello, hello, everybody. Now paging Amon.
I'm dying.
We're back. We missed another week, but we're back for another week. And we're just going to talk about our favorite things that's happening with Bravo and our favorite peeps.
Yes.
How are you doing, Amon?
I'm not going to lie. I'm exhausted. This weekend ended up being super busy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I am now in bed with a glass of ice water.
Fabulous.
And I am ready to discuss. How are you?
I'm very good. I wish the weekend was longer. It always goes by too quick.
You're right. It does.
Yeah, so we're just going to get into Beverly Hills, actually.
Let's do it.
What are your thoughts with Beverly Hills? This whole Crystal Sutton fight that has almost eclipsed what Erica is doing.
Okay, so I have one word for the last episode, and the word is gaslight.
Gatekeep girl boss.
Came for Crystal, and they gaslighted. They did that to her. They really fucked her up, and like, it was just so unfair for them to project what their emotions would be if somebody entered their room when they were naked. And it's like, okay, cool, Kyle, Erica, etc. Like, that's how you would feel, but I felt violated, and that's how I felt. You can't change someone's emotions and opinions for something that happened. That's their own emotions and their own opinions.
I know. And these women love to fight about semantics and being like, well, saying that implies this. And it's like, okay, well, first of all, stop gaslighting her. Stop it. Like,
yeah.
I don't care what you're feeling. This is about Crystal.
Yeah.
How she's feeling. And I think it's hilarious that Sutton is so mad that Crystal keeps bringing it up when it's like all the other women are actually bringing it up.
Yeah, exactly. That part, it's just like getting a little bit annoying, because it's like, it's kind of like this cast has this motive to kind of hide away from what Erica's going through. So they're like, you know, putting more like oil into this fire and just hoping that the Sutton and Crystal fight just keeps going and going. And it's just getting a little bit ridiculous at this point, because it's like, now what? This is like the fifth episode in and we're still discussing this?
Yeah. I have to give it to Crystal. She's a very good housewife, because when she was talking about this with Dorit, she was like, I haven't been bringing it up. Other people have been asking me about it, so then I talk about it. But yeah. I never bring it up. And I'm like, she's a good housewife. You know, she's housewife material.
Yeah, and the thing that I liked about her was that she didn't back down.
Yeah, like, she's like, I'm not going to not use that word.
Yeah, she was just like, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to take that word back, because that's how I felt in the moment, and that is on that period. And I love that.
I love that, because you know, like, any other housewife would have been like, okay, yeah, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have used that word. It has a lot of implications. I'm sorry if that hurt you. Crystal was just like, no. Just know.
Yeah. I know. I liked it. It was great. Anyone who hates Crystal, I'm like, Erica's been, like, you know, Erica's been like even more colder than Crystal has ever been so far on the show.
Yeah.
And y'all have kept her around for so many seasons and have always stand her. So like, if Crystal wants to like stand on this ground and not give a shit about what Sutton's doing and all that kind of stuff, like, let her be.
Exactly. And honestly, it's the racism for me. It's the racism. Everybody just holds Crystal to a different standard. I hate Twitter, Housewives Twitter. I really need to stop reading it, because they make me so mad. There was this one tweet about like, oh, Crystal's kid is so rude. I can't believe her child called like the nanny stupid or whatever. And I was like, first of all, this kid is 7 years old and she's having a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
Second of all, were you this hot and bothered when Melania was acting this way? I don't think so.
Yeah.
You guys probably thought it was cute.
Very that. And I also got into a fight on Reddit.
Oh, yeah. We're fighting on Crystal's front.
We're really just, you know, on the front lines here fighting for the good cause. Mm-hmm. Somebody, like, there's been so many threads that I've been reading about, like, how people are just like, oh, we're so tired of her. She's so annoying. She's such a mean girl. And I'm like, first of all, people have the audacity to be Team Sutton. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? Right? Like, you know, at the beginning of the season, I was Team Sutton, too. I was like, you know, maybe she has something to offer this season. But, like, as time has gone on, she's shown us nothing better about her.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't understand. But yeah, I got into a fight with somebody about it because I was like basically trying to prove a point to them. And then I didn't realize this, but at the end of their first initial post, they wrote, please, ... That's how they ended it. And I wasn't mimicking this person. But uh-huh. I also ended up writing, please, ... And then when I saw it later, I was like, oh my God, that's why they responded like a really rude thing back to me. Cause like they probably thought I was coming across really snarky, which I mean I was, and I'm not apologizing for that.
Uh-huh. But at some
time I was like, this is so funny. Like,
Gosh. And I think it's funny also when people are just like, Crystal's so boring. She's not offering anything. And I'm like, what exactly is Sutton offering in terms of giggles? Like, get over it, people.
What is any?
They're all boring.
Yeah, they're all boring. Like, what are any of them offering at this point? Nothing.
Exactly. The only one that's offering anything in terms of, like, I guess just pure entertainment is Kathy. Just like her weird antics, and she's just like, you know, the British girl over there, like, just funny quips.
Yeah, that part. And I do think that, like, I think that Garcelle is trying really hard to, like, have her own storylines, and she is doing the work, you know, like she's like, you know, going to a dating coach and all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, I do appreciate that that Garcelle is trying. Her life isn't super interesting, but at the same time she is trying to have something, whereas, like, you know, a lot of the other women are kind of just depending on other storylines to just, like, get by this season.
Literally, I don't even know what storyline Dorit, Lisa Rinna, Kyle, like,
they have none.
They have nothing. Well,
okay, Lisa Rinna's storyline is just disgusting because this lady is taking so much joy from her about her 19-year-old dating Scott Disick, who is like 34, 30-something. I think 37. 37. Actually. Yeah, 37. Yeah. She's taking so much pleasure. Like, that scene was really awkward when she was telling Erica about it.
Yeah, and, like, even though she was saying that she didn't like it, she was kind of, like, smiling.
Mama, she was smiling ear to ear. Is that the saying?
Yeah,
she was grinning so hard. Like, and the fact that she was just like, maybe I should contact Chris.
Oh God.
And it's just like, okay, like, I get that Chris is, like, somewhat, you know, from Keeping Up with the Kardashians, is she's somewhat of a maternal figure for Scott. But outside of that TV show, I don't think that relationship really is there. And it makes it sound like she wants to go to Kris Jenner to figure out, like, you know, publicity deals and things like that. It's like, mama, no.
Exactly. Kris would be like, who's this?
She's really trying hard to, like, pimp her daughters out, and it's just sad to see it, but I think that Lisa Rinna is really, like, seeing how many other housewives have, like, built up their children on the TV show and exploited them on the TV show for them to become famous. And she's just like, I want the same for my daughters. And I'm like, honestly, like, I get it. Cool. Do you? If you want to be a pageant show mom, do it.
Uh-huh.
But out of everybody, you're okay with your daughter dating Scott Disick? Like, I don't know. If I was, like, a Hollywood mom, like a Beverly Hills mom, I'd be like, you know what? If I want my daughter to be famous, find somebody like Brad Pitt or, like, somebody like, you know, like an A-lister.
True, true. And, like, it was very telling when Lisa Rinna was just like, you know, the headlines used to be about her eating disorder, and now it's about Scott. And so I guess that's better. I was like,
okay, that part was really awkward because I was just like, first of all, no one was talking about her eating disorder except for you. You were the only one talking about it, so fuck off. Secondly, nobody is talking about your daughter in the blogs. Nobody. Right? Not even Daily Mail. And Daily Mail talks about stupid ass this lady named Demi all the time.
Oh, God.
And they're talking about your daughter. Okay, so that's telling, first of all. Or second of all. And then third of all, like, It seemed like she was really happy that her daughter has acquired another label in Hollywood.
Right.
It's kind of like that feeling, but like, especially with the Kardashians, we've seen this where like, and a lot of other celebrities that, they have a lot of storylines outside of like the actual movies or whatever they're doing. They have storylines and labels like, I was married to this person, then had a breakup, then had kids with this person, now I went through this, then I did that. And, as we know, that's necessary in Hollywood for your career to have longevity because people are always talking about you. But like, yeah, when Lisa Rinna was talking about her daughter, I was just like, that's so sad that you're saying it like that.
I know. I was like, really? Oh, jeez. She's just a sad person, honestly.
I kind of just like sometimes wish that like Lisa Rinna was just, actually followed her advice about like owning it and was straight up obvious, not straight up obvious, but straight up with like the women and would just say like, yeah, my daughters are trying to become famous and we're working on that right now. And Scott Disick is a great addition to helping my daughter's career because I mean, she's basically implying all of that. So might as well just say it out loud.
Oh, I think that would be too much. I think she would literally implode if she's actually said that out loud. Too much owning it for her.
That's true. You have a point.
I want to talk about Erica because I think it is so funny the narrative that she's trying to spin that like Tom, he was like he wasn't like an attentive husband, and over the years he just stopped giving me attention and he was very dismissive. And I'm like, you fucking bitch. You were a cocktail waitress or whatever, and you married this man knowing what kind of life you were gonna live. And you lived that life for a good 20 years. And now, how convenient that he's being sued, that you're divorcing him now of all times. Like, you've dealt with it for so many years. Like, what's different? I'm over her acting. I can't with it.
It's a really bad performance. It's just like the entire time for this entire show, she's been like complimenting him nonstop. He's an amazing
Exactly.
person. He does this. He's great. All that kind of stuff. And now, out of nowhere, she's saying all these really terrible things. I'm like, I don't buy it. I don't believe it. This is fucked up. If he really hated you, and if this was true, then he would not transfer $20 million to EJ Limited. Like,
Exactly.
it's so dumb. And I kind of like do hate the editors for like constantly putting that clip in where like, he shushes Erica
Oh,
after
yeah.
dinner with Lisa Vanderpump and stuff. That part, I'm just like, can you guys stop? I think they used that clip like twice or thrice in the past two episodes. And I'm like, y'all gotta stop doing that because no, you play the clips where she's been complimenting her husband nonstop for the past several years. Like, this is
Yeah.
all a lie, a sham, and a scam. And I don't
Yeah.
wanna believe it.
Exactly. And she's always defended him. And if she truly felt the way she did, she probably wouldn't have. She would have divorced his ass a long time ago, because I'm very sure that even at the beginning of the relationship, he acted dismissive, whatever, towards her from the get-go. And it's like, you know what? She saw the dollar signs, she saw the bank account, and she was just like, okay, I'm gonna deal with this. But it's like now that the bank accounts, it's not gonna be there, she's like, okay, I'm out. Like, fuck her.
Exactly. It's very that. What do you think about Kathy Hilton so far? Because she had some shady moments in this episode. Well, it sounded like one shady moment where she couldn't remember Dorit's name. English
I
lady.
oh God, whatever. Kathy Hilton, I think Kathy is just like, because she is in a friend role, she's like taking it easy. She's coasting along. And in the beginning, I kind of didn't really understand the like extreme hype around Kathy because people were truly hyping her up on Twitter. Like, she's the best thing to happen to the franchise or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but what exactly is she really giving other than these funny little moments? So I'm just like, she's okay, but the fact that she's like at every single event like a main character, but we don't get to see deeper into her life, I kind of wish we did.
Yeah, I agree with you. I read I think it was a subreddit about a theory that people have that. And I kind of do believe this theory. And the theory is that number one, she's playing very dumb.
Oh, yes, I've heard about this too.
Because, like, in this past episode, like how she said Mazel Tov, and then, or someone said
Yeah.
Mazel Tov, and she thought it was like happy birthday or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like she in Hollywood, like she has probably a lot of Jewish friends, and like someone in that stature probably knows what Mazel Tov means.
Yeah.
I think just also in regards to just like every other situation, I think she just like is playing dumb. And the reason why people think she's playing dumb is because she's trying to come across funny to kind of change her image from what Paris's documentary
I
reveals.
know that also when I, because I had watched the Paris documentary. So when I saw that Kathy was going to be on this season, I was kind of just like, I had a sour taste in my mouth because I'm like, what kind of mother like orchestrates her daughter going to a boarding school by like kidnapping her, essentially, like traumatizing her? Like, I really did not fuck with Kathy at all, in that documentary. So I can see how she's trying to change her image from that.
Yeah, and it's not like Kathy needs to change her image, like, to the world, because I'm sure Kathy Hilton does not really care too much about
Yeah.
like the entire world and what people think of her, because she doesn't really care to be a celebrity. But I think that what she really cares about are people in Hollywood that she's friends with and peers, and she wants to change that image and doesn't want. Maybe there was a lot of backlash like internally with her friends and stuff when the Paris documentary
True.
came out, you know? Who
Yeah.
knows? I feel like she's doing this, she's playing dumb, and she's on the show only to change her image. And Kyle probably thought of this master plan, and Kathy was probably just like, you know what? If I can be a friend on the show, don't have to show my life, don't have to show my husband, I get to just be kooky on the show and have fun, I'll do it.
Exactly.
She like in the first few episodes I found her funny, but like yeah, now I'm kind of like, okay, like she's not really giving us too much anymore.
Oh, something we missed from last week that I cannot believe I just didn't mention this, when they were all at Sutton's house, but
Oh,
Kyle's
the
house.
Paris party, yeah. Parisian.
No, Garcelle hearing about Erica, and she was just like to the group, why doesn't she wait?
Oh my God, I
Oh
died. I didn't understand it for the first second. I didn't understand it
my
either.
God. I understood it from the get-go. I was like, Garcelle, this is not the group to tell this to or ask this.
I don't know why I was like really dumb in that moment and I didn't understand it. I was like, wait for what? Like I
Him
was
to
like
die.
wait for him to like to get more money to stay and have like a good settlement, and then I was like, oh shit, that's what she meant.
I
I love
know.
it.
I love it. Garcelle asking the hard-hitting questions. I do appreciate that from Garcelle. She's not afraid to ask these questions. And she'll be asking Chris, not Crystal, Erica those questions on top of a fucking hill. And then next week the preview is that whole fight with Crystal and Sutton again. With Sutton like running off and being like jealous of what your ugly leather pants.
And Crystal's just standing there smiling.
She's like, yeah, you are. Goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I feel about this season so far. It's just like, it's Beverly Hills is just, so bad now.
It is. That's why I don't know. It's hard to admit because I feel like I'm in the minority, but I don't reach for Beverly Hills when it like comes out on like the Thursday for us or whatever. Like I will wait to watch it, like the last minute kind of thing. Like if I have nothing else to watch.
Whenever like a new season starts for Beverly Hills, like the first three or four episodes, I'm very excited to see. But then yeah, I start to get that same feeling too, because like I'm like, maybe there's hope, maybe this season's gonna be good. And then like as the season, like by the time you get to the third, fourth episode, you realize that the same drama from the first or second episode is just gonna continue, and you're like, okay, I am used to this. This is going to go on for the rest of the season now.
I
They're going to make
know.
it into something that it doesn't need to be. And yeah.
Yeah, Beverly Hills is way too formulaic in like a bad way.
So, as we're both reading Brian Moylan's
Oh yeah.
Housewife book, He actually does talk about how some of the production companies that make Housewives are very like into it, like
Involved,
they're very like involved and will like poke at the girls. And apparently for Beverly Hills, like they don't do that,
I know.
which explains a lot now, because like as we know, like Atlanta and Potomac, like they are like the production is heavily involved and they make for great seasons. So I'm like, I feel like production needs to like step their game up, because Beverly Hills is going to get to the point that OC is kind of at
Right,
eventually.
where it's like, even though it's like a fan favorite, it's just not given what it's supposed to give. And
Very
that's
that,
that.
mama, very that.
Exactly. You know, speaking of Brian J. Moylan, he had some choice words for Roni. So we're going to take a break and come back with New York. New York. Oh, I miss this one. I look forward to this franchise. And this week's episode was it was interesting. I had my feelings validated, but at the same time I was like, should I be? Because
I know exactly what you mean right now, and I'm on the same page as you. I know
right?
exactly what you're talking about. You read two
Exactly.
articles, and I did too.
So okay, let's just get into it. Miss Ebony, she invites the women down to Harlem for a night.
Correction, correction. Ebony K. Williams.
Okay, Ebony K.
She
Williams,
needs
her full
to have her
name.
full name everywhere.
Her full name. She invites the ladies down to Harlem for a dinner party, and you know, some of these women are just like, wow, I've never been to Harlem, Ramona. And so they're at the dinner party, and you know, they get to the dinner table, and Ebony has assigned each of the women a important figure from the Harlem Renaissance, essentially, and she's explaining their significance to the women. And I have to say, it was boring.
Oh, mama, I fast forwarded.
I was like, why are we doing this?
Here's the thing, the candle was really cute.
The candle was
The
nice.
candle that she got from somebody who, a candle maker actually in Harlem, like a local business, and she got one for each woman based off of like their vibes and everything. I thought that that was cute. And that is where it should have ended, and it should have went into regular Housewives party mode. But instead, her history lesson kept continuing.
And so with Brian J. Moylan, he does like recaps for, I don't
Vulture?
know, Vulture or something, I don't
Yeah,
know.
Vulture.
And he basically just gave this episode like 1 star out of 5. And Miss Ebony K. Williams responded to his claim that the episode was boring. And she was just like, well, I'm sorry that my blackness was boring you, but this is how I choose to, you know, use my platform and, you know, be on the show kind of thing. And I didn't read both articles in full. I just knew the points. That they were making. And I also read a third article by somebody that
Same.
I listened to. I read one from Ira Madison III.
I read that too.
Thank you. Perfect. We're on the same page. We did not prepare for this, guys. We're just in
Yeah,
sync like this.
we're just so like obsessed with Real Housewives that we just like, this is what we do. We're reading a book on the side. We read articles every week. We're on the Reddit threads. We're on Twitter. We are obsessed. We
We're
don't play.
obsessed. And so the article from Ira Madison III responding to Ebony K and Brian Moylan together essentially validated my feelings that yes, the episode was boring and Ebony don't know what she's doing with bringing this kind of content on The Real Housewives. And he basically said like, it seems as if she wants to use this platform to get a spot on like The View rather than be on The Real Housewives. And I'm like, agreed. But the problem is, Ira the Madison the third, he's a black man, and Brian J. Moylan, white man. So it's kind of like this issue where it's like, are white people or non-black people allowed to criticize the way Ebony goes about being on the show? And so kind of just like stuck in a hard place. It's like, yeah, she was boring as fuck. But it's like, is it my place to tell her that? I don't know.
Here's the thing. I think it is, we can say that this was boring. This was a bad episode, and it was because of Ebony. And here's the thing why. It's not like we're saying you can't talk about Black history. It's not that we're saying that Black history is boring. It's not any of that. Black history is great to hear. It's important for everybody to be educated and to know their facts and all that kind of stuff. But it comes down to the platform that you're using and you needing to form your on, and also how much you're giving. So if she was giving all this content on, on actually like The View, say, or some other platform, like, yes, fantastic. This is great. That's where people go to hear these sort of things. That's where people go to get educated. Or if she had her own YouTube show, cool. You're creating an area, or you're expressing your views in an area where people actually want to hear you. Real Housewives of New York City, not the place.
Yeah, not the place. And I kind of have like two thoughts. It's like, first, what did Ebony want to achieve from giving these women this history lesson? Like genuinely asking, like, did she really think that these women were gonna do something with this information, like look more into Harlem, suddenly become not racist by being more educated? Like, not with these women. And second, I don't understand Ebony's, like, it seems like she wants, or she feels like it's her job to start educating these women on Black culture because she is the only Black woman on the cast. And I do feel bad. It's like, it seems like she wants to do it, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want her to think she wants to do it, you know?
Well, it's interesting because like during the time that they were in the Hamptons, and when she got into the fight with Luann, and after the aftermath of that, like she mentioned, she was just like, because Ramona was saying like, oh yeah, like teach us all. And she was just like, Ramona, it's not my place to teach you guys. Like, that's not my job. Like, you guys need to go out and like educate yourselves. And that was like, I was like, cool. Yes, I love this. It was a great fight. The fight that her and Luann had was very insightful. She was able to really bring in key facts, stand up for herself, talk about some history here and there, all that kind of stuff. It was great. And that's where it should have ended. And then it should have been that the rest of the season should have just been a really fun season. And if things came up here or there where, the white women, if they had questions about stuff, then yeah, of course, those could be like little conversations, or even like Ebony describing like her life to people to kind of like let them know, like, like this is what I have to go through, That would have been fine too. But to like actually sit there and like do a full on like history lesson, that's where it's just like, oh, girl, like now you're actually educating these people, like, and you didn't want to do that. And this is coming across boring for everybody.
Exactly. And I just don't understand Ebony. It's like, know your audience. You're on the Real Housewives of New York. This isn't like NPR. Like, as much as I would love to know about Black history, this is not necessarily the medium I want it in. Watching these white women with this Black woman having to lecture them at this dinner party, like, I don't want that for her.
Yeah, even like I think it was the pageant like last episode when like she did
Oh my
something
God,
and
yeah.
there was like the whole history about it. I was like, girl, like I love you, and like I feel like just her wearing an afro was just good. It was like, yes, great, good for you. But then her having to do like a whole, I think I passed forward through that part, but like I read in the articles that like she like, did a whole like little lecture on like what it means and what it was and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, like now you're getting a little bit too much.
Yeah, it just seems like it's like she's running for mayor kind of thing, and this is her platform to like get her name out
I
there.
feel like, I mean, okay, she was a lawyer and she was on Fox News, so I really do think that that is her goal. Like, I really do think that the reason why she came on this show was not for anything but to go on to another greater platform, like The View, or to become a mayor. Because, like, when you think about it, like, which sane lawyer who is very educated would come on a trashy show like this?
I know, that's true. And also, like, what Black person, like, hanging out with white people would just start rattling off history and like integrating black history into every single interaction that they had with these white women. Like, realistically, it's not happening.
I think also there could have been just like better ways if she really wanted to teach them like more black history. Like I think that these ladies like activities, like
Oh,
maybe she
yeah.
should have done like a scavenger hunt or something. Maybe she should have done
True.
something else. But like, yeah, this format was just not great. So yeah, maybe let's also transition to her night with Ramona because that was, I mean, I didn't like both of their sides, kind of in a way.
Same. I didn't like both of their sides either because she, Ebony, the problem with her is that she really does use education to, and the fact that she has more education than these women to like teach them essentially when she's bringing up these topics like politics.
That entire scene was just, it's like Ebony was just there to like, you know, have a good time. And this is the part that I did agree with Ramona. Like, you know, as much as I hate Ramona, as racist as she is,
Right?
as much as a Democrat or no Republican she is, she is just like, I just want to have a good time. Like, I invited you over for a good time and to get to know you, and for Ebony to like, you know, get all political was not the right thing to do. And I get it. Like, you know, sometimes there is a correct side when it comes to politics, especially like in the last election in the States. There,
Yeah.
you know, nobody wanted Trump to win, but you know, Ramona's a Republican. And I think the thing that Ebony needs to realize is like, you're a very educated person and you need to know that there's people out there who aren't going to be on the same political, you know, wave as you, and that is okay. And as a scholar, you should, out of everybody, you should recognize that it's okay to have differing opinions. Even though Ramona's opinion sucks, she does kind of have that right to, you know, be
Yeah.
on whatever political side that she wants to be. And a difference in opinion or difference of thought is sometimes great in conversations in a room because you can learn from each other. And so I thought that Ebony would really utilize that difference of perspective. But instead, it kind of seemed like she was attacking Ramona for having a different political view.
Yeah, and I agree. This was the one time I was siding with Ramona, and when I was like watching it, I was like, am I the problem? Like, I don't
We
want to
read
talk
the
about
articles, and then we
politics.
were just like, oh, never mind. We actually were, everyone was thinking this.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, like, I don't want to talk about politics all the time when I'm meeting with friends. Like, if I want to have, if we're dedicating like a night to have fun, we're going to have fun. We're not going to talk about things that we disagree on.
Yeah, for sure. And even if like there is a moment where if someone disagrees, it's like okay, like that's great. Let's talk about something else now, you
Yeah,
know?
exactly. We move on. Move on from that. I did think it was funny. Like Ramona just like squirming though is so funny to watch. She's like, I can't. And she's like, Coco, I don't want to talk about politics. I just want to have fun. And
I
then she
think
tells
her
Ebony she's gonna leave.
Yeah, that part was funny. I like how Ramona went to her own room. She was just
I
like,
know.
bye. I think Ramona is really trying super hard to just like avoid certain conversations because she is afraid of what she'll say and what'll happen. And this is the part where I actually do think Ramona's being smart.
Yeah, exactly same.
We know she's a terrible person, and we
Yeah.
know she's probably thinking the worst things ever. But
Yeah.
it's really smart of her to like, you know, just avoid this conversation and just to like back off and walk away. And that's why she was like, you know, squirming so much because she knows she's just like, I need to stay silent without
Exactly.
doing too much because, you know, if you get canceled online nowadays, like her whole career could be done, you
Yeah,
know?
she is smart. Unlike Kelly Dodd, who likes to just
Yeah,
spew
I was gonna say that.
shit all over the place, it's like Ramona, she knows she's a Republican, she feels this way. She, if she saw a black person, she would cross the street, she would clutch her little Birkin or whatever. But she's smart enough to know that, like, you can't say that stuff out loud. I may think this, but I'm not gonna say it to the world. And you know what? Thank you, Ramona.
Yeah, that night, I mean, sometimes I also do think like these women forgive each other so quickly because like they were like full on fighting and then by the end of that scene they were like hugging. I was like,
I
this
know.
is wild. This franchise out of every franchise is the most like forgiving, which I guess works out for their favor
It
because like, you know,
does.
all the OGs are still on, most of them. So it kind of works out, but also at the same time, it's just so fascinating to see. It's like, what the fuck?
I know. I was just like, I really thought this fight was going to be like a good 2 or 3 episodes. And then when they were making up on the couch and like Roman was crying.
Yeah, I was like, what is like, happening?
What the fuck is going on here? And you know what? This is the difference between a New York and a Beverly Hills. And this is why New York does so much more better and why people like it so much more.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so. Alrighty, that's it for New York. We will come back and we'll have a little mini review of Married to Med. We're back. Now paging Dr. Jackie.
Dr. Simone.
Dr. Heavenly.
What's the next one? Dr. Contessa.
Toya.
Anila. What? Mariah.
We are obsessed with Married to Med. Thanks to the recent season and the reunion, it is now creeping in to become one of our fave Bravo shows. Yeah. So we're just going to give you guys our opinions on each person based on this recent season. So let's start off with kind of like the matriarch, the OG, Dr. Jackie.
I love Dr. Jackie. I think she's a cool time. She gives off that Cynthia vibe from Real House of Atlanta.
Yes.
Where she's kind of just like there. She's an OG. She's like, you know, great and stuff. So I know that in this recent season, she's having some friendship issues with
Dr. Simone.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I think we missed her in the intro too. Oh, sorry, Dr. Simone.
But I have started watching from season one. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching that and like watching the newest season and then now watching like the first season ever. It is kind of sad that like I'm gonna eventually see that their friendship deteriorates because they're like besties in the first season.
But
so far I like Dr. Jackie. There's nothing really wrong with her. She seems like a very simple gal, very quiet. Mm-hmm.
Same here. Yeah. Okay, what about Dr. Simone?
She seems like a good time. Again, I feel like her and Dr. Jackie have a very similar vibe where, like, you know, they're very just grounded, you know, they're not with the drama, but also, you know, they sometimes do have drama with each other or with other people. But so far, like, you know, she seems normal.
Yeah, from season 8, though, she seemed to hold, like, a little grudge against Dr. Simone and what she did or did not do to, like, support her with the other women. And I was just like, Dr. Simone, you need to, like, if you want this friendship to work again, you need to make an effort. Like, you know, inviting her to your son's graduation because she's known your son since he was, like, a toddler.
Yeah, that part, I think, if I was Dr. Jackie, I'd be really pissed about that because it's, like, even though you're fighting about whatever, you kind of resolved it. And it's, like, this is a big moment in your family and, you know, that's been your best friend for years. Like, that's something you should have invited her to.
I know. Okay, now to a very hotly contested person, Dr. Heavenly.
Okay, so I don't know too much about Dr. Heavenly. Like, in obviously season 8, she seems like a good time.
She's so messy, though.
I don't know. Like, honestly, now that I'm starting from the first season, I feel like my memory for season 8 is kind of, like, blanking out. So I'm like,
okay,
what's happening again with her? But in the reunion, she seemed like a fun time.
Yeah, she is. I think she can be fun when she wants to, but the problem with her is that she can dish it, but she can't take it. Like, she throws a lot of shade, and sometimes it's not fun shade, it's actual shade. But anytime the women throw shade back at her, she gets really, like, annoyed, and I'm just like, come on.
I love her husband. Her husband is so cute. So, like, all of their husbands,
Dr. Damien.
Their husbands are most, except for Dr. Contessa's husband.
Oh, yeah.
Or ex, I guess now. But they're all very, like, the voice of reason. So, like, nice, amazing. Their wives are kind of crazy.
I know. Speaking of Dr. Contessa, what do you think about her?
Oh, my God. Contessa. I just want to give her a hug.
I know.
I feel so bad for her. Like, her man is trash scum. And oh my God, in the reunion part one where at the end she reveals that she's filed for separation and he just finds out in the green room, I was screaming and howling in my room. I was like,
Same.
this is the content I need.
I know. When he was watching it, he was just like, "What? Like, what's happening? Like, we didn't talk about that." And he's like going onto the stage, and he's just like, "Did we talk about going this far?" I was like, "Oh, I, oh my God, that
Yeah,
was
no, that is like
riveting."
their fights are one of those things that I will probably never forget from from the most recent season. Like he's so bad to her, and I don't know
He's
how
so
she dealt
shady.
with him. Like, it is just terrible. Like, she should have just went ahead and filed for divorce, not even separation. Just, girl, just get it done.
Exactly, because in season 8 they bring up the fact that when she went back to school, he said he was gonna like leave her. I was like, why didn't she file for divorce right then and there when he said that? Because
Yeah.
that is not, that's so trash. She wanted to go back to school to become a doctor and get her license, whatever. Like, you're gonna leave her?
I know, it's so annoying.
So sad.
But Contessa herself, like besides her marriage issue, she seems like the voice of the reason of the group.
Yep.
She is the self-proclaimed bodyguard, basically, because
Oh
she's
my
always
gosh,
having
yeah.
to, you know, push people out of the way. And honestly, she just seems like such a nice person. Like, I would definitely be besties with her in real life.
Same, same.
Yeah.
What about Toya?
Oh my
Ooh,
God. Toya is
Toya.
fucking crazy. Toya is like on another level of like wild and crazy and needs help.
She is so selfish and narcissistic to me.
Yeah.
Oh boy, it's hard to root for her sometimes, even though I kind of am on her side. Like, I was in the beginning, but not so much towards the rest of the season,
It's kind of
essentially.
like you know where she's coming from, but she just has really bad delivery. Like, she just gets really aggressive, and her points are all like sometimes valid, you know? Like,
Yeah.
it's like, I understand what you are saying, but you are getting a little bit too much, and you getting rowdy and aggressive and rude just dilutes from the point that you are making and makes you come across a crazy person, you know? So I feel like she needs to learn just communication
Yeah, and you know,
skills.
we did see that through the reunion that she did like regret the way she communicated with a lot of the ladies. So, you know, we're all here for personal growth.
Her husband and her kids, though, they're like
Oh
the
my God, her
best.
husband and her kid. Yes, they're the best.
It's crazy to see that her husband and her kids are so like normal and quiet and just
I
like,
know.
and she is just a ball of fire.
Exactly. And also, one thing I'm just like, she rent that house? I mean, I know she bought it, but like it she looks like a renter because that house is so like barren.
Yeah.
There's like nothing on the walls, nothing.
I think she's trying to move out, right? Or has she
Yeah,
moved out
she
now?
like they put it on the market.
Damn.
They didn't say why though, which is shady.
Yeah, and something that I didn't realize about her in this, or something that I did realize about her in this season is she is very privileged in her life and she
Oh
loves to
my
complain about
God.
everything. Like,
Yeah.
she goes to tennis every day. She lives in like a very nice neighborhood. She doesn't really have to do work, you know, like everything is kind of like handed to her on like a silver platter, and she is like still complaining. Like, she complains about her husband having to work during COVID. It's like, girl, your husband is a doctor. That is literally his job, and right now is like the most important time in his life to be a doctor.
Exactly. And I think it's ironic that she still complains even though she's financially stable because like in the past season or whatever, she did go through like bankruptcy during the
Oh, I didn't
show.
know that.
Yeah. She went through bankruptcy. And so the fact that she's like still just like is not satisfied with her life, I'm like, girl, you were at a
Yeah,
different place 3 seasons
exactly.
ago. Appreciate what you have.
A lie.
The next and last full-time cast member is the new one, Anila. What did you think about her?
I don't really care for her, to be quite honest. Her scenes with her family were really cringy for me to watch, because her mom was like always like yelling or like, you know, I don't know. For me, it's kind of like, as an Indian person, sometimes seeing Indian representation is obviously great.
And especially like the sort of Indian representation of like the fusion of someone who grew up in North America, because that is such a, on television, it's a very unique perspective and it's not really, shown out there. But sometimes when like her family and like yelling and like her mom just being crazy and stuff like that and being involved in some fights and like, that part, I'm just like, oh, like that is not a great representation. Like,
I
I
know
don't
some
want people to think of like us like that.
I know sometimes I feel like whenever I see like Chinese people or whatever on reality TV, I'm just like it is cringy because it feels as if they're playing into a stereotype
Yeah,
sometimes.
exactly.
And yeah, I totally know how you feel about that.
Yeah,
But
so I've been fast forwarding her scenes.
right. But my favorite part is when she didn't get paid by Lisa Nicole for like an Instagram post or something. And so when they were on vacation together, she charged like the really expensive champagne to Lisa Nicole's room, and they found out when they were checking out. And she was just like, "You didn't pay me, so here."
I'm dead.
And Lisa Nicole's like, "No, you're paying this bill." And she was like so mad, like actually like seriously mad. And Neelam was just like, and all the husbands were laughing in their confessionals. They were like, "Ooh, she got her good." And I was like, "Yes, she did. This is a
I
fucking
love that.
serve."
I honestly think that Anila like is a good character, and I think she's a good addition to the show. I just, yeah, don't want to see her family too much. I just want to learn more about who she is.
Yeah, totally get that. Oh my God, now to my fave character,
Same.
Quad.
Hands down, favorite character. If you watch season one, you know she's a feisty person. She did not come to play games. She came
I
to
know.
read people. And she is just, I love that, like, her, like, she's still so funny on season eight. Because, like, now watching season one, I'm like, she's an icon. She's
She's
a
a
moment.
legend. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that like she's not a full-time cast member, even though like I think in the second half of the season when they show her, like she becomes essentially a full-time cast member. She's on all the trips, she's on all the dinners. I don't know why she's not there. Maybe it's because she's not actually, married to Med anymore.
Yeah, I don't know, like, because again, like, I'm still trying to like watch the show from the beginning and trying to figure that out. It could just be like, like that weird thing that Luann had that one season of
Oh,
New York
yeah.
where like she was like a
True.
friend. It could have been that maybe she turned it down at first
Oh,
and
yeah.
then later on in the season she realized that she wanted to do it, but they just didn't, they were like, okay, but we don't have enough footage of you to for you to be a full
True.
housewife. I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things, but I do hope that next season she's on as a full time.
Oh my God, yes. Bring Quad back. She's so good.
She's the best.
She's so funny. I just love watching her. I feel like she just brings more energy and like fun to the group itself.
Yeah, 1000%.
Because I think people like. Because honestly, who in the group is like fun? Who's bringing the party, the liveliness?
Exactly.
Can't
Quad.
name one
Yeah.
other than Quad. So, yeah, that's our thoughts for Mary to Med. I'm sad that we kind of like started it later in a sense. So now we actually have to wait for the new season, but we have all the old seasons to watch.
Yeah. I'm so happy. I'm actually happy that I started now because I still have like 7.5 seasons to watch.
True.
Which is fantastic. I've always known about Married to Medicine, but yeah, I feel like with Bravo shows, like I'm always like, oh, is it gonna be good or not? Like I started watching Summer House, I think when Summer House was already on season two. I started watching Below Deck pretty late. Like I only started watching Below Deck last year, and I was like, this is amazing. I binged through all of it.
Same.
Shaw's at Sunset, I think I started watching 2 years ago. I didn't binge through it because like they do show a lot of flashbacks on it, but it's been amazing as well. And so I'm really happy that like now I'm on Married to Medicine, and this is going to be fantastic to watch.
Yeah, so look out for our little discussions on the old Married to Medicine seasons. That's it from us for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.